Hi. Welcome to the first Bangladeshi podcast where we have renowned guests from all over the world. I'll talk about business, politics, tech, and everything else that's trending worldwide. I'm your host Rafi, and let's get this show started. In this episode, we have with us Naveen Ahmed from Dhaka, Bangladesh. She is one of the most influential makeup artists in Bangladesh, owner of Gala Makeover Studio and Salon, and someone with an inspiring story to tell. Thank you for being with us, Naveen. Before we dive into details, can you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Thank you so much for having me, Rafi, on your show. What can I say? I'll just start with the fact that I'm a mom to two beautiful children, and I am the owner of Gala Makeover Studio and Salon. I own two branches and one restaurant called Oplay.
Right. Amazing. I'm actually familiar with both of your businesses, and we'll get into the details a bit later. Let's start from the beginning now. So, me and you, we have a lot of similarities. Firstly, I know that you were from Scholastica, and so was I, and it's always nice to see someone from my school making waves. And secondly, both of us didn't complete our A-levels because it was too hard. Me personally, I completed my AS, and then the grades didn't come out too well. And then I convinced my parent I don't need A-levels, and I'm just gonna do a diploma on law, and then later on completed my LLB degree. So my question is, how did your parents and friends react when you told them you decided to not give an A-levels? Were they against the decision or supportive from the beginning?
Well, of course, you know, having Bengali parents, they didn't get it at all. They were not supportive at the beginning. It was really hard on them. And I can understand now that I'm a parent. But I had to convince them eventually, because I also gave my A-levels and the results were not really good. They were actually quite bad. So I told them that, you know, I was really struggling and I was not doing well at all. And eventually they came around, because I could show them that, you know, I applied at a few colleges, and when they accepted me, they then kind of, you know, agreed to it and they let go of it. And eventually I could start without the A-levels.
Right. So I know that you went to Sheridan College in Canada and got a diploma in cosmetic techniques and management. So I know the university offers more than 150 courses. So out of all the other courses, what made you want to study makeup?
Okay, so I was always really good in makeup. I liked doing makeup on myself. And I was that girl, you know, who would do makeup on my cousins and my friends. And even, you know, sometimes I would like even file my friends' nails at school. So I was always into beauty and liked beauty and everything to do with beauty. So when I was, you know, really struggling to find a subject that I was good in and something that I wanted to study and eventually go to college for, I really didn't know. And this friend of mine who was actually living in Canada at that time, she recommended that I do this course at Sheridan. It was close to her place and she was actually living with her family there. And she told me that, you know, I'll be here, my family's here, why don't you come here and you can study this? And you're always so good in makeup. And that's when it clicked that, yeah, you know, this is something that I can study. And yeah, then I applied for it and it was okay. It was smooth sailing from then.
Amazing. So before this interview, I saw many of your past speaking experiences. And one particular interview, actually one segment stood out to me, and I want to ask about that. You said a defining moment for you was when you opened a Facebook page and used to upload before after photos, and then that started to get noticed in this industry. So my question is, do you think people started to book you after that because they liked your natural style of makeup, or because you mentioned that there was almost no other Facebook pages like that? So was it a monopoly thing, or was it because of your skills? What do you think?
I think it was more because of my skills, because what happened was I started doing makeup on people who are known to everyone, like around my circle, around the community that I hang out in. So I picked out a few of my friends that I know everyone knows, and I did their makeup, and everyone knew how they looked normally and how they looked all glammed up. And it was my style of makeup that was, you know, on them. So I think that's what was what clicked, and that was what people noticed. And it was obviously different than what the mainstream parlors were offering. So I think that is what kind of made people notice.
Right. And it certainly helped that there were no competition online. For example, me being one of the first podcasters in Bangladesh, I have almost no competition and it's all smooth sailing from me here. I have so many amazing guests lined up, from you, for example, to so many amazing people. So the monopoly, I believe that simply helps a lot too, for, in my experiences.
But I would like to point something out, Rafi. You know, when you say monopoly, when I started, it was actually quite hard because people would just see me as an amateur because I didn't even have a proper salon. I was starting from my home or from one room. Whereas when there were other competition, there were other ladies who were in the field for more than 10 years or so. And they had proper salons and proper girls and assistants and, you know, people who would trust that it's always better to go to a place that was bigger and more accomplished than someone who's starting from just their house. So, yes, there was no one in particular that I know of who would, I think there was just one other person who was doing from their home like me, but there was like literally no one else. But, you know, that was actually a phase that was a little bit difficult because, you know, but I think, again, the style of makeup was different than what the mainstream parlors were offering. So that is what actually clicked, because that is what the girls were not getting. They didn't get the look that they were desiring. They were just getting what other ladies were doing who were in the field for many, many years. And their style of makeup was a little maybe backdated at that time when I started. So, yeah, I think that's what helped me more.
So would you consider you started the trend in Bangladesh of the natural style makeup? Because it wasn't really common before you entered the field, I believe.
Yes, and more so because I studied abroad, right? So the style of makeup that I was taught was different. Like now people are more exploring this type of makeup, but 10 years ago or 12 years ago, it was not very popular because it was not a style of makeup that was done regularly here. So yeah, I think when I finished and I came back learning a different style of makeup, it just made it big here.
I have, like, for example, when I go to wedding invitations, for example, here in Dhaka, when I was younger, let's say 10 years before, like you said, people used to be, the bride used to be like all glammed up, unrecognizable. I'm not saying that in a negative sense, but you know, a lot of makeup is on.
I totally understand. Like the style was different then.
Exactly.
So now it's just different, you know, like every era has its own style.
Right. And now when I go to an invitation, a wedding, and everybody is just, you know, less is more. That's what's trending, I guess, now in this industry.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
So I know that you worked with a lot of international clients, celebrities, and public figures. What was your most starstruck or exciting moment that you couldn't believe that you're working with this person?
I have done makeup on quite a few celebrities, but I think I would say that I really enjoy doing makeup on our Bangladeshi actresses and actors more so than the international ones, because I feel that I connect more with them. I don't want to point out one single person, but I would like to say that they're all my clients and I really do feel starstruck and I really do feel privileged that I'm being able to do their makeups. And, you know, they're celebrities of my country and I really enjoy that. And we connect on a lot of different things and issues and I love doing their makeup.
That's amazing. So now moving on to your other business, which is your restaurant in Gulshan, which is in Dhaka for those international audiences. So the restaurant is called Oplay Restaurant. And I actually have an experience with this, unlike your makeup business. So I know this more from the word of mouth. So your restaurant, it's completely different from, you know, the makeup industry. Your restaurant field is a different field altogether. So when and why did you plan to start a venture in a completely new field you were not experienced in?
Okay, so I obviously didn't have any experience in restaurant, but I am a businesswoman and I know how to do business. So when I met up with a couple of my friends and we were always discussing about how we are all working women and, you know, we don't get to do much for our kids and, you know, spend time with our kids and things like that. And we all decided that we are going to open a play zone together and, you know, have our kids there. And it's something that we do together. It's work, plus at the same time, it's spending time with our children and fun and, you know, family time and everything like that. But at first, we only thought of a play zone. But then we thought that, you know, it'll be best if we open a restaurant because then families can connect more. And I don't have much idea about restaurants, but my husband actually owns a restaurant and my mother-in-law also owns a restaurant. So I knew that I will have some input from them and I will have some guidance from them. So I didn't, it really didn't bother me that much that, okay, you know what, I have no experience and it might not do well. So, but also there was a big gap in the market then for good quality play zones for our kids, especially in Gulshan. So we thought that, you know, why not? And it's four of us and we're all four moms. We can take turns and, you know, look after the venture and spend time with our kids. And so we decided to open it and we launched it last year. And it has been doing amazing so far.
So from my perspective, Oplay is not your typical restaurant. I mean, of course, it has good food, but you put a lot of thought and effort into your decoration. So did that scare you at any point that you are investing so much on decor and all the little experience that a customer can have in your experience? That would it even matter in the end? All the emphasis on decor and experience is a thing now. But at the time when you launched Oplay, almost no other restaurants had this emphasis on decor and the ambience except five-star hotels. So what are your thoughts on that?
Of course, you know, you're right. But, you know, two of my partners are actually architects. So they thought that they can't think of anything less. They thought of, you know, everything really grand. And we were on par on the same page, you know, about this because we thought that we're going to, it's a family restaurant and people want to bring in their families for a good time. It comes with a play zone. So, you know, kids can play and the couples can have a romantic dinner at the same time. And we kept a lot of these things in mind when we opened it. When we even have a lawn as well, we thought of having a lawn more so that, you know, children can run around and play because, you know, in Dhaka, people, our kids don't get to experience the outdoor too much because it's everything is so, there's just so much construction and things like that around. So we chose that place and we had this vision in our mind and we put that vision there and, you know, it's to us, it's amazing. And we didn't think twice before investing at all.
Right. It was very much needed indeed because Dhaka is a very chaotic city indeed. It's one of the most densely populated areas in the world and really lacks the infrastructure to speak for, you know, younger audience. For example, when we were younger, there were a lot of more open areas for us to go to. But these days, it's all development and development. And, you know, you can get lost in that development at one time. And that really starts to affect someone who's younger at a mental state. So it's really nice to get out once a while to an area where you can just rewind and relax. So I believe Oplay is hitting just that mark. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, Rafi. And also, you know, you have to understand that when we opened this place, we opened it with our kids in mind. We wanted to do something for our own kids. So that's why there's no compromise there.
That's how all businesses should be, I believe. For example, your gala studio. So if you create something with you in mind, for example, this is somewhere that you would like to go, then again, no compromises in quality. So this is a good advice to all business people that whatever you are building, build it so that you're building it for yourself, your own family, your kids. And that's how you get the best quality out of things, I believe.
Absolutely.
So I know you launched Gala Cosmetics sometime last year with your sister-in-law. How has the response been amongst the makeup community so far in Bangladesh? Because I know that Bangladeshi people usually buy things from abroad, more or less. The makeup audience. So how has your experience been launching something in Bangladesh?
When we launched Gala Cosmetics, we didn't really think of, you know, making it a very mainstream brand. We launched it so that we can use the product at the salon because we needed a lot of products that we were also bringing in from abroad. And we needed something that was always available, especially lashes. We launched with eyelashes and we have three styles now. We are planning to launch more styles. Thanks to the pandemic, it got delayed, but hopefully we will be able to launch further. And when we launched, we had this in mind that we're going to be using those products at the salon and for our customers. And so far, the response has been really good because, you know, the products are showcased at Gala. And when we have customers coming in, they use the product and they love it. And they, you know what? They just pick it up from the store right away. So it's not that, you know, we didn't really do a lot of advertisement for it. It's like people use it and they see the difference and they love it and they take it with them. Also because these products are not, again, available readily in Dhaka. We only thought of launching them because they were not available in Dhaka and we always had to bring them up from abroad.
Right. So that's very helpful for you then, because you have your own salon. The product placement is just in the perfect place that you can have your customers experience the products themselves and have them be pleased with the products and buy it for themselves. So that's very perfect business strategy, I believe.
Yes.
So I have a two-pronged question for you now. You have a fairly long career from makeup to restaurants to this cosmetic launch, and I believe you're going to get involved in a lot of things in the future. So what is the hardest obstacle you've crossed and the most rewarding experience you had in this timeline?
The hardest obstacle would be, you know, when I was pregnant with my son, my first child, I couldn't work at all. And it was, however beautiful, you know, my everything was that I was pregnant, I was having a baby, it was still really hard to say no to a lot of brides because I had a very difficult pregnancy and I couldn't work at all because, you know, when we'd work on our clients, we stand on our feet and work. And my son was born in December, it's wedding season. So I think I lost like a lot of clients that 1 year. And it was really hard for me to say no because, you know, I had a lot of competition at that point and I felt that I was just losing all my clients. And I think that was one of the hardest points in my career because it took me another year just to recover from that loss, you know?
Right. And your most rewarding experience in your timeline?
My most rewarding would be, of course, when I think it just is all my brides because, you know, they do leave their reviews and their comments and their fathers and their husbands, they actually message me, they leave gifts for me, they always contact me to thank me. And it's just all of them. I can't pinpoint at one single thing and say that was just most rewarding. It's always all my brides.
I guess that's how you know you're successful, when people go out of their way to give you gifts and message you. Like, once they get out of your parlor,
it is really heartwarming.
Exactly. So once they get out of your salon, they don't have to message you. They're done. But they get out of their way and they leave a text for you. And that's beautiful. They leave gifts for you. That's even more beautiful. So more than the monetary sense, I guess this is way more rewarding than that, because you know that you had an impact, a real impact on those people, a positive impact. And I'm sure that makes you get a good sleep every night.
Yes, you know, that's amazing because it's like I said, it's just not the bride themselves. Sometimes I get messages from their dads because, you know, most dads don't like a lot of makeup on their daughter, you know, like that all dolled up and looking different on their big day. But I do get messages from their fathers and thanking me and telling me that, you know, they're so happy that their daughter looked like themselves and still their glammed version, and that they were touched. And obviously the husbands too, they always message and thank me. And you know, it is really heartwarming. It really touches me because I really do feel that they don't have to contact me because it was a service I provided, right? But they still do, and it does make a difference to me.
Exactly. So that's very beautiful indeed. So I have an interesting question for you now, and that is, what is the worst business decision you've ever made?
Okay, so the worst business decision would be that at some points I have taken a lot of brides on one day. It was more so because every time I would say no to these brides, they would still insist that, no, you know, take it, please take my appointment. Even if I tell them that, you know, I do have a lot of appointments already, they would still try and, you know, ask me to overbook and things like that. And I did fall into this because you know, they would insist so much. And I think on those days, it was a bad decision because it did really take a toll on my health and my body. And of course, the service would not be 100% because I would be all over the place. So I think that was like one bad business decision that I made maybe 2 years ago. And after that, I was like, hell-bent on not taking too many clients and only taking limited clients and, you know, just a certain number that I know I can do flawlessly and completely without having any problems whatsoever.
I've actually faced something similar to this as well. I have booked at one point of my, this show, this is related to this show, so I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
I have booked seven interviews in 7 days, and that really took a toll on me, because for me to adequately research about you, know about you, come up with some interesting questions, that takes a lot of time, and 7 interviews in 7 days is no joke. So I understand the bad decision of overbooking. So that can definitely go in the worst decision category you've ever made.
So, you know, these are things that we learn from in the business. I was also new in the business, and I was just learning. And these are points that, you know, I took into account now, and I wouldn't make this decision again. Because, you know, we get, our clients insist, and they tell us that, you know, it's our big day, you have to take my appointment, and we do fall into that, and we do take it, but yeah, it doesn't work like that, actually.
Right. So we're nearing towards the end of the show now, and I have some final questions for you, and that is, we have a pandemic going on now, and people are mostly staying home, delaying their marriage, or even if they're getting married, they're getting married at home. So your main business so far is with the salon and the restaurant. So the pandemic, I assume, affects both of your businesses. So the question is, how has the quarantine period affected your workflow?
Well, of course, the 5 months that we were all in lockdown and quarantining, all my businesses were actually closed. We did face a huge number of losses, only because we have a lot of staff depending on us. There's obviously rent to be paid, and we did suffer a lot of loss for this. But we have opened, we have reopened last month. And hopefully we will recover the losses, because people are coming out now. People are attending our salons and taking services. Obviously, you know, we're not having bridal clients as much, but our spas are still open, and we are maintaining all kinds of hygiene protocols, and people are coming and are really impressed by the steps that we're taking because of the pandemic. And the same goes for the restaurant. We are doing all that we can. We even have like sterilizing machines for cutleries and plates, and everything is wrapped and put on the table so that the customer can, you know, open themselves. So we are taking all kinds of precautions, and hopefully we will recover the losses. I think it's something that happened all over the world, so and everyone is coming out of it now, so we are positive.
Exactly. That's something we all had to face in our own respective businesses, but I believe the world is going to come out of it at a better place, and having learned a lesson that safety is no joke, and pandemic or not, you should always remain safe and hygienic and everything else.
Absolutely.
So before we finish this, can you tell everyone where to find you in social media and anything else that you might want to add?
Okay, so my social media pages, for Instagram, you can reach me at Naveen Ahmed Official, Naveen Ahmed_official. And our page is Gala Makeover_by Naveen Ahmed. And also our Facebook page, Gala Makeover Studio and Salon. And we are actually very easily reachable through email, or you can DM us on Instagram or message us on Facebook page. And yeah, we always get back to our clients.
Right. Thank you very much, Naveen. It's been a pleasure having you. I'll of course keep in touch with you, and I'm really excited to see all the new things that you come up with.
Thank you, Rafi. Thank you again for having me on your show. I had a lot of fun chatting with you, and you know, the questions were really different, and I really enjoyed myself.
Thank you so much. We'll speak again soon.
Okay, bye.
Thank you everyone for listening to this episode. If you're interested in being a guest, go to my website and you'll find the process there. If you want me to discuss a certain topic, there's a suggestion form on the website as well. Hope you all like this episode. Peace.